the best of Lee Elsie on 94.9 News Now.
Dr. Murray Sabrin, professor of finance in the Ansfield School of Business at Ramapo College of New Jersey. He's also been on all kinds of different shows, including The Record, The Star Ledger, Trenton Times, The Asbury Park Press, you name it. Murray Sabrin has been part of that, and Dr. Murray Sabrin, that is, to you and me. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Lee, and it's a pleasure being with you this morning.
Well, I appreciate it. So today, you are going to make a case for Trump, but before we get to that, I'd like to say that for the last 6-8 months, I have been 100% anti-Hillary, but I've also been overly critical of Donald Trump. So I want to lay my cards out on the table, because I have been disappointed and more often than not with Trump's campaign. So here we are with a week to go, week and a day, and these emails that were potentially this new Comey scenario, which is sort of unleashed on Friday, could be a game changer. But as far as just in a general sense of things, can you make a great case for Donald Trump?
Well, I could make the best case possible, not a great case. I didn't support him in the primary. In fact, I didn't support anyone in the primary, because I thought they all had flaws. They had some strengths, not too many of them. But let me just lay out the case with 8 days before the election. When it comes to Hillary Clinton, she's wrong on every single issue that I heard her talk about during the three debates, or the two debates in the one forum. She is just terrible on taxes, spending, regulation, trade, military intervention. She wants open borders. She's wishy-washy on the Second Amendment. And the main thing that, from my perspective, I think from a lot of other people's perspective, is she said during the last debate, which I'm surprised Trump didn't pounce on her, that she wants a no-fly zone in Syria. What we're doing in Syria is beyond me. Yeah, ISIS are bad people. They behead people. They cut people's throats. They shoot people. But that's not our problem. That's the Syrians' problem, and the surrounding states that don't want to have this terrorist organization in their midst. But for her to say she wants a no-fly zone in Syria, where the Russians are flying with the Syrian Air Force in order to stop ISIS, is the most irresponsible thing I've heard in all my years of watching political campaigns, which go back to the 1960s. And Trump should have said, Hillary Clinton could start World War III if she's president by imposing a no-fly zone in Syria. And people who support Hillary, which is amazing to me, these are the people that criticize Bush, rightfully so, for invading Iraq, and they're embracing Hillary, who's making George Bush look like a pacifist. Mm. This is the most amazing, shocking development in American politics in my lifetime, that people who supposedly are for a humane, compassionate foreign policy have gone all in with Hillary, who is the biggest warmonger that I've seen in my lifetime. And that is so shocking, that this woman who presumes to be a compassionate person who loves children, who loves families, set into motion a series of events in Libya and Syria that has destroyed cities and towns and villages and caused ISIS to become a force in the Mideast. So just on that issue alone, Lee, I think Hillary is disqualified from being the next president of the United States, because what the world needs is peace, peace, and peace. And Donald Trump, he may not be the perfect candidate by any means, as you pointed out. You were critical. I've been critical of him also. But at least he's not going to go headlong into Syria and impose a no-fly zone, which would be a disaster for the region and for the world.
Dr. Murray Sabrin is with us. I read a number of his accolades, but there are more to come. I mean, he's also got a website where he blogs, murraysabrin.com. He was also the Libertarian Party nominee for governor in 1997 and was the first third-party candidate to participate in the official debates with the two major candidates. He sought the Republican nomination for U.S. Senate. So you've been around the bend and back again. To me, whenever they ask Donald Trump a question about foreign policy, really, it is sort of deer in the headlights, and I would hope that he would surround himself, and we can get to that a little bit later on. But Hillary Clinton is always applauded, Doc, for being so experienced. But literally what she's done in combination with Barack Obama in the Middle East has been catastrophic, correct?
It's been worse than catastrophic. I think the number that I saw was $5 or $6 trillion in the Middle East over the past 15-16 years. All that money has been borrowed. So the national debt has gone from $9 trillion to $18, $19 trillion because of this crazy neoconservative war policy that has gotten us nowhere, absolutely nowhere. It's not to the national security of the United States. people around the world have to ask their political leaders, demand their political leaders, that they have peace in their country and in the region. And we, fortunately, are surrounded by two oceans. We have a secure border, I think, with Canada in the north. We don't have a secure border in the south, and I think Trump has made that a very good campaign issue, that to have a nation, you have to have borders, and you have to have a legal means to come into a country. And so that's why Trump is resonating in the nation. He's dealing with an issue that previous administrations, both Republican and Democrat, have refused to deal with. What do you do about illegal immigration? And I think it's a pretty simple way to deal with it. I don't know. And Trump, if he did this, I think he would win this election easily. And I've talked about this when I ran the last time for the U.S. Senate, is that we can't deport 11 million people. It would be financially intolerable to do so. The way we handle illegal immigration is that if you commit a crime and you're a legal immigrant, you're deported right away. There's no question about it. If you're here, you've been working, you've been building businesses, you cannot become a citizen because you violated our rules to become a citizen, so you become basically a permanent guest in the United States. And you do everything that Americans do, American citizens do, except you can't vote. Now, this would undermine the Democrats who think that citizens, illegals would automatically become Democrats. So you deal with people humanely because the United States was based upon a humane principle of freedom, of liberty, of freedom of conscience. And if Trump had articulated that throughout the campaign, that people who come here and don't follow the rules are not going to become citizens, no debate about that issue, and that if you commit a crime, you're going to be forced out of the country. So Trump could have done something that I think would have gotten him applause from both sides of the aisle and deal with the problem on a humane basis, as opposed to the rhetoric that is making a lot of people uncomfortable. But nevertheless, I think he's going to win, given the revelations we had on Friday and what's going to happen, I think, this week. There's supposedly going to be another dump of email from the Clinton people that should hit this week, and I think that'll be the nail in the coffin. So my fearless forecast is that Trump wins 48-45%, and he could win the Electoral College by just over 270 votes. That's my prediction.
Let's focus on Trump, because I think we can all agree, at least a lot of the folks who are listening, that Hillary is just bad for the country and would be a terrible president for the next 8 years. So let's talk about Trump. Let's focus on Trump. Would you say Trump is an isolationist?
Well, I don't like that term. The word isolationist, you ever been the isolationist? Most Republicans and Democrats by not engaging with Cuba for the last 55 years. So I visited Cuba. The Cuban economy is really dead in the water. They really need a lot of foreign investment. They need to free up their economy, which they've been doing. Isolationism is a smear term. It really is. We all engage with each other in the United States, and free people don't need government permission to deal with people around the world. That's what freedom is all about. It's about actively engaging with people, if you want to or not want to, around the world. So we don't need government directing trade issues. We don't need a 20,000-page trade deal called NAFTA, which is a disaster. It's a crony capitalist deal. And Trump should have articulated that better. He should have said, and he did say this, I think, in the last debate, he's for free trade, but he didn't pursue it. He should have said free trade is what makes the economy grow. Free trade is what lifts up the standard of living of people around the world. Free trade is what allows innovation and creativity to spread around the world, to lift people up from poverty, not government programs, not foreign aid. And if he did that, he would be articulating the basic principle of free enterprise, which is what the country desperately needs, as opposed to all these crony capitalist domestic deals and international deals.
All right, so let me throw a little curveball at you, and you can write me where I'm wrong here, Doc. You know, one of the things that Trump, and at least Trump supporters, have been consistently saying is that he'll surround himself with the best people, right? So we would have thought if that was the case, he would have done it during the election process, during the campaign, but he really hasn't. So show me, Doc. Show me that he's going to do that if and when he becomes president.
Well, like I said, if I had to rate Trump from a 0 to 10, I would probably give him a 5 or a 6. That's a lot better than Hillary, who's at a 0. The only major troubling thing about Trump is that he's surrounded himself with people who are in favor of trade protectionism.
Mm-hmm.
Wilbur Ross and Peter Navarro, an economist, who said some really incredible things about trade and China bashing. China's not the problem. The problem is the Federal Reserve, which Trump alluded to. we should have a monetary policy that doesn't inflate the value, or I should say inflate the supply of money, which is what the Fed has been doing with this quantitative easing. And Trump criticized the Fed for doing so, and Hillary Clinton then criticized Trump for criticizing the Fed. This shows me that Hillary Clinton is totally in the pocket of the Wall Street bankers who love these low interest rates, these artificially low interest rates. And Trump should say, we need to stop screwing, and he should use that term, screwing Main Street and supporting Wall Street, because zero interest rates means that we're getting zero on our savings accounts when we used to get 3-4%. So that means people who save for a lifetime, who don't want to invest in the stock market, have their money in the savings accounts, and they're getting close to 0% interest on their money. Instead, Hillary Clinton thinks this is a great idea because all her friends, the cronies on Wall Street, love zero interest rates because they can speculate with virtually costless money. So Trump should have made this a signature issue of his campaign, and he would win easily because every senior citizen would vote for him. Because seniors who have $100,000, $200,000 in a savings account because they've saved over their lifetime are getting shafted by the Federal Reserve, and Hillary Clinton thinks this is a wonderful idea. So Trump missed an opportunity, unless he says it for the next few days, that we're going to have a monetary policy which gives people a real return on their savings and not have a bubble, which he talked about. He should talk about more. We have the third bubble in the last 20 years. We had the dot-com bubble. We had the housing bubble. And now we have a general bubble. We have a biggest bond bubble in world history where rates are negative overseas and are, less than 2% on the 10-year bond in the United States. These are interest rates that are not compatible with free markets and free enterprise. So Trump should really hammer this issue home the last week, and I think he'll win overwhelmingly given Hillary's problems, her health problems, her ideology of big government and intervention overseas. And I think he could win this thing, especially in the swing states, and point out that to have a vibrant economy, we don't need trickle-down economics. This is what Hillary proposes, more government spending, more regulation. That's trickle-down economics. Tax cuts are not trickle-down economics. This is the great mythology of American politics, that tax cuts are trickle-down. Trump should say putting more money in the hands of people and business owners makes the economy more vibrant. It gives them the resources in order to build businesses, to invest and save and save for their future. That's what he should be saying. Very simple stuff. And if he did that, I think people would gravitate towards his campaign, especially the independents, that are the key to winning the election because of the Republicans and Democrats don't have as much support as they did in years past.
Dr. Murray Sabrin, all right, we got about 2 minutes. Give me something that you think we're going to find out is in these emails that could be damning of Hillary.
I think there's probably something in there that the Clinton family, the Clinton Foundation, receives funds from possibly foreign nations for benefits that she was able to give out at the State Department. That's the only thing I can think of off the top of my head. I mean, the Clinton family is basically the Sopranos in politics. that's what they are. I mean, they're really not only nasty people, but she comes from the Saul Alinsky School, which is do everything in your that you can in order to gain power. And this is the hallmark of totalitarianism. This is what totalitarians do, whether they've done it in Russia, in Germany, and Italy, and Spain, and other countries, that you don't care about moral, you don't care about ethics, you don't care about having a conscience. And this is very dangerous stuff to allow someone in the White House who doesn't care about morality. And the closest Hillary Clinton should be coming to the White House is watching The Designated Survivor on TV.
You know, and Doc, it's amazing to me, you know, we could say what we want about policy and you can divide up the Democrats and the Republicans, what side you fall on. And, you know, you can make a case that Trump's, like you said, not the greatest guy in the world. But I'll tell you what, Hillary Clinton has been beating down America for 30 years. She has been inside. She has been deceitful. She's been corrupt. And I don't know why the folks on the left just they don't open their eyes or they refuse to open their eyes and see this stuff.
Well, I'll tell you, if Hillary Clinton were a Republican, the Democrats would be screaming their heads off on top of rooftops because they wouldn't tolerate a Republican with the baggage that Clinton has, and yet they're embracing her, and primarily because she's a woman and she's for abortion 100%, even partial birth abortion. which is probably the most gruesome act that a doctor could perform on a baby, and yet she supports that unequivocally, which I find morally reprehensible.
The best of Lee Elsie on 94.9 News Now.